Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore, or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
Let us stand as we continue to worship and praise God and by hearing God's Word in the reading of Scripture. Our first Scripture this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. But those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Our second Scripture comes from the 62nd Psalm. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. And finally, from Matthew chapter 16. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
There are loyal hearts and spirits brave. There are souls that are pure and true. So give to the Lord the very best you have, and the best will come back to you. Give love, and love to your hearts will flow a strength in your utmost need. And have faith, and a score of hearts will show their faith in your word and in your deed. This poem was written at the end of the tragic Civil War, which divided our nation. This poem was written by a lady who authored under a pseudonym by Madeline Bridges. And tradition tells us that as she was watching the soldiers march home from the war, carrying their wounded and dead, she prayed to God for some inspiration, some way to help this country so divided, so despondent, so grieved with tragic loss. The victory for freedom was shallow with a price that had been paid. God gave her these words. There are loyal hearts and spirits brave. There are souls that are pure and true. These, for her, were legacies of love that she could share as a poet. For this legacy of love and this legacy of faith were the healing hopes for a nation so grieved and so consumed by the devastation of war. I believe there's no greater legacy than the legacy of love and faith. I believe it's only human and natural for us to respond in times of great tragedy the way we do. Have you ever noticed how people rush to some site, whether it's 9/11 or the tragedy in Oklahoma City, or whether it's the tragedy of the loss of a loved person who is in the public eye? People naturally want to go place flowers, develop a memorial. And it's a God-given deep within us, with our spirit, to let our light shine in some significant way in the darkness that is so devastating to our lives. And Memorial Day grew out of the Civil War. There are over 24 cities that claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. Even in the South, before the war was over, there were women who gathered at the graves of their dead sons and husbands and relatives and friends and covered their graves with flowers. This has been a tradition. Remember the tomb of Jesus early on that Sabbath morning? How the women went. They were not going to forget their Lord, their Savior. They went to see. And so it has been for us not only a witness of our Christian faith, but a drive of our own human condition that we celebrate Memorial Day. The first observance of Memorial Day was called into order by the general of our United States Army, John Logan. This happened in May 30th of 1868. And in his official proclamation, John Logan said, "It is the purpose of this commander-in-chief to inaugurate this observance with a hope that it will be kept from year to year." And kept it has. Many of us in our own life experiences, like myself, remember Memorial Day. Matter of fact, my memory takes me way back to when it was called Decoration Day. My mom and dad and my sister and I would build little flower boxes, and we would plant flowers in there, and we would take them to the cemeteries nearby. Grandma and Grandpa's cemetery plots in our hometown in Osceola, Iowa. And then we'd drive about an hour away and go to my great-grandparents. These great-grandparents and grandparents were parents that I had never met. And while it was a scary experience in my life as a small child to go to these cemeteries, that tradition grew to become a very affirming because I learned the legacy, the characteristics that my mom and dad and my extended family would talk about there around their graves, about what were the enduring values, what were the lasting legacies of these wonderful people that I had never met in my life. But the question for us today, if you take your sermon outline, is have we forgotten to remember Memorial Day? That's why it's so significant that in our worship, we light a candle for our loved ones, because very few people today go back to the cemeteries where our parents or grandparents or extended family are buried. I did that this week, and I drove to Warrensburg, Missouri one evening, a sunset, and I've always connected with Memorial Weekend because of my parents' example and their parents before them. It was very awkward and very challenging, very difficult for me to even express my feelings with my daughter around that experience. And yet, in the sunset of that evening, as we placed flowers on there, I was able to say, "Thank you, God, for the love and faith that I inherited from my parents." I'd like for you this weekend to thank God for the enduring legacies of love and faith that you've been blessed with. Because I think God calls us to be faithful to those who have given their sacrifice. That's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to remember and not forget. Another important lesson, I think, for Memorial Day is that God is calling each of us to be faithful here and now because of the legacies we have received from those who have gone before us. As God fought to make man holy, let us fight to keep men free. Let us be faithful in the present as the battle hymn calls us to be. And there's a third dimension that I think is most significant on this Memorial Weekend, and that's the significance of what legacy can we leave to future generations. See, the Word of God is all about the past, the present, and the future. And sometimes we're so consumed with the present that we lose the meaning of life itself and the assurance of life eternal and the legacies that we can leave those who follow after us. You know, life is too short. It's too brief. Sometimes it lacks the joy. And oftentimes that joy comes out of knowing that we do have life and we have it life abundant. One 85-year-old lady by the name of Nadine Stair wrote these words that I'd like to share with you today. She said, "I dare to make more mistakes next time. I'd relax, I'd limber up, I'd be sillier than I have been on this trip. I'd take fewer things seriously. I would take more chances, I would take more trips. I would climb more mountains and swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. If I had it to do over again, I would travel lighter." When we know where we're going and we have the assurance of what Christ has done for us, we can travel, not with a heavy heart, we can travel lighter. Because we know what our lives are going to produce is the legacy of love and faith for those who would follow after us. You know, what would Jesus say if we were ending our life and entering into life eternal? 6 questions that came to my mind as I prepared this sermon are there on your sermon outline. What would I do differently? What would I do the same? What regrets do I have for what I have done? What regrets do I have for what I have not done? What are the lasting joys of my life? And then what legacy will I leave? My parents blessed me with a great legacy of love and faith. I never doubted their love and faith, and I believe that their love and faith through the witness of Christ is my strength in my life now. Will that be the same for my children and their children? Yes, life calls us to deal with these questions that can move us through life with a purpose and a plan. Perhaps you've noticed that Scripture has a way of answering some of life's difficult questions because this book is God's legacy for us. It's inspired by God through human hands that have suffered tragedy and triumph. Today, I want to suggest to you that when we turn to the Scripture, we find good news. If we are people who are willing to be faithful and honor those who have given their very best in life, if we're willing to be faithful in all times of life, not just the good and easy times, but the difficult and hard times, and if we're willing to live our life because we know the end of our life is not only going to make a difference for us, but for those who follow after us, God will bless us with these lasting legacies. Scripture tells us, first of all, that God gives us a power to live. A power to live. Today, it's not only Memorial Weekend as a national holiday, but in the church year, it's called Pentecost. Remember the story of Acts in the early chapters about how the Holy Spirit came as if they were tongues of fire upon the disciples who were gathered in Jerusalem? They had been despondent, discouraged. They had been devastated. Their Savior, Jesus Christ, had died some 50 days before. And the Holy Spirit, like the light of these candles, lit upon them and inspired them to preach the good news. And as Peter preached, thousands of people gave birth to the new church. Because Scripture tells us, by our faith in God, we have power to live. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Everything we need in life or death, because we live for God, goes to His glory. Scripture not only gives us power to live fully, but Scripture gives us principles to guide us through this difficult time. Scripture tells us in Psalm 119:19, I am but a pilgrim, says the Living Translation, a pilgrim here on earth. I need a map. Your commands, O God, become my chart and my guide. So Scripture blesses us with the power to live and the principles to guide. And probably most important is that Scripture reminds us that we have a purpose to live, a purpose to complete. That God has given us gifts and abilities, time and talent, resources. We're so blessed in this abundant life that God does not want us to waste these resources. He wants us to be good managers and stewards of what He has given us, not just for our pleasure, but for those who will follow after us. We have a purpose to complete. Now, when my parents died, my sister and I worked hard on trying to pull all the loose ends together of their estate. My parents always lived a very modest life, and we knew there weren't much resources left financially. They lived in a small house and didn't have very many possessions, but we were amazed when we discovered that some of their savings accounts could have been used up for their own pleasure and enjoyment in retirement. But we know they left them for us. They lived frugally. That touched me as it touched my sister, and it causes me not to want to waste what God has given me so that I can bless my children and their children with a blessing and a legacy of love as well. Because we have a purpose to complete in this life, and it's not for ourselves, it's for God's glory. Scripture tells us the main thing you should want is God's kingdom and what God wants you to do. Then all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you as we put God first in our lives and experience something of His glory. So God not only blesses us with power to live and principles to guide us and a purpose to complete, but God blesses us with people to serve. That's what the church is all about. That was the power of Pentecost, that the people individually were weak, but together they became strong, they became unified. Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God knows. God knows. He's given us free will because He loves us just as we love our children. While we guide them and train them up, we know that someday they have to act on their own. That's a legacy of love that we're able to do, and a witness of faith in God as we let them go on their way. So it is with God, but He has a purpose and a plan, and that plan is to serve God by serving God's people. That was probably one of the first questions I had to answer as a young man, age 16, when I felt God calling me into the ministry, is how can I serve a God who I cannot see? And it was if that question drove me to my pastor, and my pastor, Dr. O. Griffith, said, "Clayton, we serve God by serving others. We serve God by serving others." In over 40 years of ministry, I have seen God in serving others. God not only gives us people to serve, but He gives us a plan to give. You know, there's not only a human drive and a spiritual desire to honor those who have gone before us, but there's something within us, some human element in us that we want to give. We want to give to God. God has given us a plan to give. That's why worship and offering is so important in our lives. Scripture tells us, as Jesus instructed His disciples, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you." You know, I've known people in my ministry who have given their best, some even in the worst of human circumstances. One person I remember is a man who suffered a great deal in his 60s, died in his late 60s, because he was an alcoholic his adult life, and he smoked, and it had taken its toll on his body. Not only had it taken a toll on his family, caused a divorce and separation, but it had taken a toll on his finances. In his last years, he had very little income, and his family cared for him. When I went to visit with him, I was really surprised to see somebody who physically was so weak and wearied by his disease, but spiritually was so strong because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He said, "I don't have much to give my family when I'm gone, except my journal." And as I talked with him and learned more about him, I was blessed by his witness of faith. He had the gift of writing, and that was his inheritance. And when we celebrated his life and his funeral, we were able to tell stories of humor, stories of help, stories of hope from his own pen. And today I know that his children and grandchildren are blessed by the journals as he shared his love and faith. Today I want to honor another memory of mine, a lady who was a part of our church. I never knew her husband. He had died before I became her pastor. But she and her husband didn't have children, so the church became her extended family. And over the years, you could always count on her, whether it was an operating need or a capital building need or a special need of any kind. She was there wanting to help because God had blessed her and her husband so abundantly. Several years after I left, I got a call from the pastor of that church, and he said, "Clayton, you're never going to believe it, but her estate was several million dollars, and she's left it all to the church. That church today is one of the strongest churches in Missouri because of her legacy, not only in life, but in death. Those resources are helping that church in their ministry, their mission, and to maintain their facilities so that their facilities can be an outpost of Christian ministry. Another person that I remember and thank God for is my pastor, Dr. Earl Griffith, pastor of First United Methodist Church in Chillicothe. While my parents gave me the inheritance of love and faith, it was Dr. Griffith that gave me the inheritance of a spiritual reality, the inheritance of knowing and experiencing God. Dr. Griffith, over his preaching years, changed hundreds of lives. And every community he went to, he helped transform that community. Every church was strengthened by his leadership. And I thank God for Dr. Griffith. I thank God for those in my life. This weekend, I'd like for you to think about those who have blessed you with an inheritance of faith and love. Some 5 years ago, our church launched another aspect of our stewardship and generosity ministries. Not only does our church teach and help people with their own financial ministries, we've completed 5 seminars this semester, one on helping people know their financial situation, managing their financial situation, better management of debt, better savings and investment scenarios, all from biblically based seminars. This Tuesday night, we have a 5th seminar, helping people better understand the importance of having a will and having a estate plan for the legacy of their family and their church or charities. Our church is committed to helping people with their legacy and their resources. But it's also important to recognize that God's calling each one of us to be our best in the world in which we live. It's very important that we remember those who've gone before us, that we take the responsibility of those legacies and live life more faithfully in the present, and that we live life thinking about our goal, and the goal to give glory to God and to witness our love in Jesus Christ. Let it be so for us this day. Would you pray? Gracious God, thank you. Thank you so much for the power to live. Thank you for principles to guide us. Thank you for a purpose to complete. Thank you, Lord, for people to serve. Thank you this day for a plan to give the best, even in times that are worst, because of the example of Jesus the Christ, who lives and reigns among us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.